awesome in this place.
Our faith is built each time we hear the Word of God. We hope you'll enjoy this life-changing message from Countryside Christian Center. When you finish, feel free to share this tape with others. Our church address is 1850 McMullen Booth Road, Clearwater, Florida, 33759. You can reach us by calling 727-799-1618 or log on to www.countrysidechristiancenter.org.
Praise the Lord. Got your Bibles? Let me see. Hold them up. You believe in this book? You believe in God's going to do something tonight? Lord, we lift you up. Our trust is in you. Our trust is in your word. You're in this place tonight, Lord. We've turned with our hearts. We love you. We're your children. You've given us covenant promises. Lord, we're the first to admit that we have shortcomings in our life. We thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you for that grace that's demonstrated in every area of our lives and in all your children. Tonight, our prayer is that you'd be glorified in this house. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would lead and guide and direct us and fill us. We live by the faith of the Son of God. Let that faith rise up in our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you do great and mighty things tonight, and that you be glorified in it. Not that we can boast on ourselves, but our boast is in you and in your love for us and your grace for us. God, revive us. Revive our hearts. Revive our spirits. Fill us, O Lord. We don't want to be a part of a carnal culture, Lord. We want to make a difference. We want to be your children. We want to be separated unto you. We want to be luminaries, bright lights to shine in darkness. So we thank you, Holy Spirit, for your anointing. As your word is alive in our hearts and as you're manifest in this place, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, for the victory that we stand in through your Son. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, I want you to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. My message is titled, The Victory of Faith. And that rain that's going to fall outside, first of all, we need that rain. But we need the rain inside tonight. And we're praying it's going to rain upon us. I want to say that I so appreciate the production department and all that they do. And, you know, the videos and the skits and the notes and the what they're doing, you know, all the time with the sound and mixing the sound and Chris Rush, who's you can't see because, you know, we lock him away in that room back there, but we do let him out. And he has been on staff for how long, Chris? How old were you when you came on staff? You were like 14 years old. 14 years old. He started working here. And he's the one pretty much does all the notes and the videos, and he just does a wonderful job with them, doesn't he? Just... He's creative. You know what he did this morning with that baseball diamond and just making that happen. It's just tremendous. And I just so appreciate Chris's faithfulness, but all the people in production. So I'm in 1 Peter, the victory of faith. And I want us to begin reading in verse 3. Just follow along with me if you would, please. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, Though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through many temptations, many trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found into praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. I want to talk about faith tonight, and the first thing I want to talk about is the foundation of our faith. In verse 5, it says, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. I'll say it again. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. So we are kept by the power of God, but what makes that power of God operate? Faith. Our faith. It's the foundation of our whole Christian walk. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't do it. You cannot please God without faith. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You understand? Without faith, it is what? Possible. Are you going to do it through good works? No. Through religion? No. Through tradition? Because you're a good singer? How many can say, thank God for that? I'd never make it. That's okay. Just don't join the choir. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. So the whole foundation of our walk is in faith. It's in faith. It's in faith. Romans 4, chapter 4, verse 3 says, for what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. Because he believed God, he had favor with God. It wasn't his works. Because he believed God, he found favor. He was righteous in the eyes of God. And that God blessed Abraham over and over abundantly. So much so that he blessed his seed, and that we are part of the seed of Abraham today and have come into that faith as the Lord Jesus came through that very lineage. But I want us to think about Ephesians chapter 3:20. We hear it a lot. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of good works. So none of us can brag about it. Now, you know, we identify that with salvation, but it's not just salvation. It's everything. You know, it's not for by grace are you saved through faith. Yes, it is. But it's also for by grace are you healed through faith. For by grace are you led by the Spirit of God through grace. For by grace are you protected through faith. It's the grace of God that operates because of our faith. For by the grace of God, we know his love daily. For by the grace of God and the faith we have in him, we know his peace. For by the grace of God and the grace that operates as we have faith in him, we know his forgiveness. For by grace are you forgiven. For by grace every need is bent. For by grace, hallelujah, listen, that every provision is given unto you, praise the Lord, through faith. Whatever it is, I want you to know, your protection, your loved ones getting saved. For by grace, your loved ones are going to get saved through faith as you're believing in God, as he's going to do a work. For by grace, through faith, the lights are going to stay on. Hallelujah, as we believe the Lord. But it's all about belief. It's about God's grace operating because of our faith. And I want us to see tonight that God, through covenant, has given you everything. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so God has given us all these promises. And as we understand these promises, they come alive to us. We hear the word, faith rises in our heart. Anything that we pray according to the will of God, he hears us. If he hears us, we have those things. There's a long, 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 long list. So many, I don't even know how many promises that God has given us. We know 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power has given us all things. How many things? All things. Everything that pertains to life. All things. According as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is every area, every realm of life that God has given us, everything that pertains to life and in your life, whatever it is. That through the knowledge of him that hath called us to the glory of virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises. Not just precious promise, exceeding great and precious promises. How many know these are precious promises? And so it's our faith in them that moves God's hand. It's our faith in him. I can't believe God's blessing that guy. What has to do with his faith? You don't know his heart. Only God knows his heart. And you can judge him, you know, but you do the same stuff. You say, I'm better than he is. Well, you know, you got a problem right there. Self-righteousness is keeping you from the goodness of God. It's by grace. It's all by grace. It's all by grace. God gives us what we don't deserve. That's what grace is. Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of his divine nature. So he's giving you everything that pertains to life. You make your own list. What do you need? What do you need? I mean, think about it. Make a list. He's giving you everything that pertains to life. What do you need in your life? Now, there's a difference between wants and needs. I want a new Porsche. Do you want the front one or the back one? You got a front of Porsche and you got a back of Porsche. Listen, but there's a difference between what you want and what you need. You know, thank God, we have a God who he's promised to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glories. And he's given exceeding great and precious promises that we can stand in faith that God wants to meet our needs. But I also know that the Lord wants to give you the desires of your heart. And I find when you put God first, not only does he meet your needs, but oh, the grace and the love of God gives you over and above that. And he actually gives you the wants of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you what? The desires of your heart. But you know, let's start with our needs tonight. What's your need? What do you need in your life? Think about it. What do you need? What's the pressing need in your life now? God says that he's giving you everything that you need that pertains to life. Can you grab hold of that? Think about what is your need? God is giving you everything that pertains to life. God's heart is to meet your needs. You know, I mean, don't we want to do that with our kids? I mean, don't we want to meet their needs? Don't we want to see them happy? Don't we take care of them? We want to feed them. We want them clothed. They want to have education, you know. And we don't just say, well, you got enough. No bicycles. I mean, you know, we want to give them bicycles, you know. We want to give them, you know, whatever else. We give them all kinds of junk and toys, you know. Because we want to bless our kids. But just like God, you know, except that God does it with righteousness. Man, if our kids get out of line and they're not cooperating, then we're going to hold back the blessing, you know, because we're not just going to hand it out. They're going to have to walk in obedience. And God does the same thing. That we have a right heart with him. That we have gratitude. We thank God for his blessings. And that they are precious to us. And that we're not spoiled brats. It's not that God doesn't want to give it. Sometimes he'll hold back something just because he's waiting to bring us to a level of maturity so that he can give it to us so we can handle it. Amen. I don't know about you. I'm not saying what I did was right. I'm not saying what I did was wrong. But my father helped me with my first car. I mean, believe me, it was not a Porsche. It wasn't a front one or a back one. Man. Cost $225. And he helped me with my car. That was the end. From then on, I bought my own cars. And so I did the same thing with my kids. I helped my daughter get a car. It cost more than $250. I paid $275, I think. No. But, you know, it's kind of a different age. But I wasn't going to help her with cars the rest of her life. I helped my son with his first car. I wasn't going to pay for the rest of his cars. I want to bless my children. But there's a difference between spoiling your kids. They, you know, they have to stand on their own. But what I'm saying is, God wants to help you. He wants to meet your needs. It does something for my heart when I'm able to help my kids. Now, they're on their own. We're done with that. They stand on their own 2 feet, trusting in God to meet their needs, not Dad. According as His divine power hath He given unto us all things that pertain to life. What's your need tonight? Need a job? Do you need a promotion? Are things tight? You need an increase? Something happened, you know, the washer and dryer broke. You've been going to the laundromat and you need to get your washer and dryer. You just need a little extra. Do you need help in your marriage? What's your need tonight? Do you need physical healing? Are you lonely? I need a friend. I'm looking for the right person that God's going to bring in my life at the right time. What's your need? You think the Lord's not aware of that? If you'll start seeking God first, you'll kind of speed up the process instead of seeking the mate. You don't have to run to every singles ministry in Tampa Bay. Come on, listen to me. You don't have to run here, run there, run here, run here, run there, run there. God's saying, when are you going to trust me? He brought Eve to Adam. Adam didn't go to every singles ministry, you know, that was happening in the garden. What's your need? Need to be set free from some addiction? You've been discouraged? I don't know what your need is. But you know, God's well aware of it. And God's not forgotten it. And God's not ignoring it. He's waiting for you to approach Him in faith with the right heart. The Lord will do what He promised. You know, it tells us that in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, He says, I'm alert and active, watching over my word to perform it. God will perform His word. You don't have to make God perform His word. He's bound to His word. He honors His word above His own name. It's our faith that moves God's hand. And so tonight, if we come in here and say, oh, I'll never get anything from God, then you probably won't. But if you come in here in faith saying, God, I don't deserve anything, but You've given me exceeding great and precious promises, and I'm standing on Your word, not in my own righteousness. I'm standing in Your grace. I'm standing in Your word. I believe You, and I thank You as a Father that You're going to meet my every need. You know, it says a man that does not meet the needs of his family is worse than an infidel. Now, if God says, if we don't meet the needs of our family, that we're worse than infidels, do you think that God wouldn't meet the needs of the people, the family members that are in God's forever family? God's not going to live by a different standard that He has lived by. He's promised to meet our needs. Now listen what it says in Hebrews 11, starting in verse 1 through verse 3. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Everything that was made came from things that are invisible. It's saying that we have faith, that we do not look at what's around us in the natural, that faith is the substance the very substance of things hoped for. Faith is the evidence of things that we don't see. You know, that if I hit on this, you know, we say there's substance to it. But I'm telling you that our faith has more substance in the spiritual realm than this temporal thing that's sitting up here right now. That God sees our faith as precious in His sight. He sees it as the real deal. See, I see that building done. I see the finances provided. See, because it's the substance, it's the evidence. My faith sees the building there. God sees the building. It's done in God's eyes. God sees it all differently than we see in the natural. God sees the invisible, and it's just as real to God as we see this in the natural. Matter of fact, it's more real because it was there before any of this was. And this is temporal and going to pass away, and that's eternal. It's always been there, and it's always going to be there. And the things that are in that in the unseen realm were what manifested and made this all possible. And so our faith is in the things that are not seen, but on the Word of God and on His promises. So it's not what we feel. It's not what we see. It's not as we reason in the natural. It's not the circumstances in our lives. But it's by God's word and promises that our faith rests on God's words and promises, and God cannot lie. And that's the substance. It's the evidence. See, the Lord sees you healed. By His stripes, what? You will be healed? What's it say? By His stripes, you're what? Does God see you healed? Faith is the evidence of it. Faith is the very substance. Faith says, I'm healed. And we agree with God and God's word. God says, you are healed. And so we see it. This is a fact. God's word is fact. It's real. It's evidence. It's substance. And when we agree with God, God, I am healed, then God counts it, you see, as righteousness and favor, and He responds to us because we had faith. Said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. I just don't have enough money to make it. Well, then you need to start praying. And, you know, God is either going to give you instruction and saying you're spending too much money. That's why you're not making it. I give you more than enough. You're being careless. You're not being a steward of my money. You're more interested in your wants, you know, than you are what you really need. And so you're blowing all this money in credit cards and you're in debt. And if you'll repent and you'll turn to me and start being a true steward of the money that belongs to me, and I'll help you get out of debt. I will help you by my grace. But you're going to be faithful. If you continue to be careless, how can I bless you when you're not being righteous with what I've given you? But if we've got a need and we stand in faith, God, I try to be a good steward. You know I'm faithful with tithes and offerings unto you. I pray about the things that I buy, Lord, and I have a need now. I had no idea this was going to happen. I didn't know that all of a sudden that, you know, that our housing association here is going to put a new roof on, and they're going to charge me $3,000. I don't know where I'm going to get it, but you know, God, you already knew all about this, and you're the one that put me here, and I had peace when I moved here, and Lord, you have provided that $3,000 for me. So I stand in faith, and by faith, I see it. It's there. You've provided for me. Instead of saying, woe is me, and complaining to everybody, and trying to do it in your flesh, let's put our trust in God. If you're walking in the will of God, He's going to provide for you. So even though we don't see in the natural now, we see it through the eye of faith. We're standing on the Word. It's the firm foundation. It's what moves God's heart. That faith's substance and evidence is what is not shaken or moved. That God is going to come through. And so it tells us in verse 5, that it's faith that releases God's power. That's what it said. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. It's faith that releases God's power. It's faith that releases God's life. It's faith that releases God's favor. It's faith that releases God's provision. It's faith that releases God's victory. Till we experience everything. It says here his completed salvation, but it's not just about salvation. It's until he completes our healing, until he completes, you know, the salvation of our family member we've been praying about. And still he completes and brings that victory and brings the breakthrough in our lives. We stand in faith and God's power is working and we're going to see it completed. Whatever your need is, God's got it covered. And it's faith that's going to move God. Here's the next thing I want to share. I want to talk about the test of faith. Look in chapter 1, verse 6. They're all here in this first chapter. Wherein you greatly rejoice, so now for a season, if need be, and you do need it. If need be, I found out I always need be. You know that God always has something to do in me. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. But the trial your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor, the glory and appearing of Jesus Christ. There's a test of your faith, the trial of your faith, the test of your faith. Your faith is going to be tested. God's going to find out what you got. Is this just a lip thing? Is it just an empty thing in church? Woo, hallelujah, God's so good. And then we leave and we go, oh man, what am I going to do? Oh God, you know, how's this ever going to happen? You know that it's just kind of lip service, but it's not really from the heart that we're believing the Lord to meet all of our needs. If we're believing God that our needs are met in Him, then you know, we're not going to be boo-hooing and crying all the time. You know, that's what brings a solid Christian walk. We're not up and down and up and down and up and down. It's our faith. God doesn't change, and our needs are going to be met. So your faith is going to be tested. And the Lord says, it's more precious than gold. I want you to know, God shows us the value of our faith to Him. Our faith is more precious than the most valued metal and substance on this earth, gold. Our faith to God is more precious. Matter of fact, gold's going to perish. But your faith is going to last forever and forever and be rewarded. So I promise you right now, your faith is going to be tested. It's easy to praise God on the mountain. God wants to see what you're going to do when you're in the valley. Can you praise Him the same way? Can you trust God? Can you believe God your needs are met when you're not seeing it? Faith said, hallelujah. It's the substance. It's the evidence that it's there. I don't see it. You don't need to see it. You see it by faith because the Word of God says it's there. It's there. So God, you know, He's going to stretch us. Stretch our faith. He's going to do it under pressure. That's the way our faith grows. If God just left you alone, your faith would always be. So he takes you through another trial. This is harder than the last one. I'm stretching you. And I've got great things for you, and you're going to have to believe me, so I'm trying to get your faith big enough so I can give you all the stuff I want to give you. So that's what it says. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations at the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold. It's being tried, see? So what happens when you're going through a trial? What's it say to do? Rejoice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this trial. You're stretching my faith. You're getting ready to bless me. And every time God promotes you, there's always a test. What happens in school or in a job? You always have a test first to find out if you're going to get the promotion or if you're going to, you know, go to the next grade. And so God brings tests of faith to us that we feel the pressure Man, see, when you're in a test of faith, oh, it's hard. You know, it's heavy. It's tough. It's painful. But God sees it as precious. He said, look. Look at all that's been thrown at Job. He hasn't cursed me. He hasn't turned from me. He continues to bless me. He's not making excuses. And after he passed the test, what happened? He had more than he had when he began. He passed the test. And it showed God's faithfulness. So we need to get the word in us. When we're going through a test like that, gold perishes, but not our faith. And that God wants to get the word in us. When we go through that trial, that's the time to really seek God. Get alone, spend time with him, get the word in your heart. Write down the promises that touch your life. Rehearse them. Read them over and over and over and over and over and over until that promises becomes a part of your very being, of your very soul, of your very spirit. Not just read it once, forget it. You go over it and over it and over it and over it until you think it. It's part of your life. It's the way you operate. This is God's word for me. And you be in prayer and you be in fasting as you're seeking the Lord and put your trust. You'll humble yourself. You're going to surrender before the Lord. You're going to seek him. You're going to pay whatever price it takes to turn things around or get things right. You're going to obey God. You're going to adjust how whatever he wants to adjust. And you're going to trust God. And you're going to make it through that test. And God is going to meet your need and God is going to bless you abundantly. When you're going through the test, that's the signal. That's the signal. Turn from your ways. Seek God. Put your trust in him. It pleases him. And our weakness, his strength is made perfect. Humble yourself on the side of the Lord and what? He'll lift you up. God will lift you up. Well, I just need a sign. Well, I want to tell you, truthfully, signs are for immature people. I've had signs, you know. But I'm not saying, give me a sign, give me a sign, give me a sign. Somebody give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. I need a word, I need a word. Oh, God, give me a dream, give me a dream, give me a dream. Give me a vision, give me a vision. I can't make it without a vision. Those are for weak people. God has to give signs. I'm not saying that God doesn't give signs, but it's to confirm what is already happening in the faith that you're in as you're standing strong, and then the Lord will help you along. I've had all those things. God has given me dreams. God's given me visions. There have been prophecies that have come at that key time that have lifted me up. But I want you to know that mature faith stands on God's word. Things hoped for. Things not seen. If it's seen, it's not faith. Did you hear what I just said? If it's seen, it's not faith. It's the things we don't see. It's the things that are hoped for. That doesn't mean I sure hope so. That's not what it means. It's the things in our heart that we're desiring, those needs we have. If you can see it, it's not faith. And so it pleases God that when you can't see it, you know it's there because God's promise says that's there. And God, you can't fail me and you cannot lie. I've been faithful to your word. I walk in it. I believe you and you're going to meet this need. Listen about Abraham's faith. I mean, it's really awesome. Listen what God's word says about Abraham. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him, whom he, that's Abraham, that Abraham believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead. Abraham believed that God quickened the dead and made the dead alive. Abraham called those things which be not as though they were. He believed it. He believed even though that he couldn't see the sun and that he was old and his wife was old, it was there. God promised it was going to happen. And he wavered a little bit in the beginning. And even when God told him to give his son, to take his life, he believed the Lord. He said, God, you're the one who quickens the dead. You can raise him from the dead. That's what it tells us in the New Testament. Abraham believed if he needed to raise his son from the dead, he's going to keep his promise. That's faith. When you got a knife standing over your son, he's ready to do it. Because God, your word is true. You promised me a son. Even if you have to raise this son from the dead, you're going to do it. It was counted to Abraham as righteousness. It says, who against hope believed in hope when there was nothing to hope in, that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, which was now dead. 100 years of age? He says, how am I going to have a kid? I'm 100 years of old. There's no Viagra. I'm dead. There's no life. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, and he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Listen, his body was dead. His wife's body was dead. There was no possible way in the natural they were going to have children. But he believed God because God said they were going to have children, that he did not consider his own body. He considered the word of God. And tonight, that's what God's asking you to do. Quit considering your problem and start considering God's word. Don't consider what you feel. Don't consider what you see. You're going to consider the word of God and that God is going to do it. And when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. The third thing is the heart of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, whom having not seen, you love. And though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy and speak him full of glory. Here's the heart of faith. We know in Galatians it says that faith works by love. Because faith knows God's love for us. Faith works by love. I know God loves me. He demonstrated on the cross. He said, if I've given my own son for you, giving him up for you, all one, I freely give you everything through my son. I've not held back anything. And so when we know God's love for us, that we put our trust in him because of that love. He's demonstrated, what more could he do? And that he is going to keep his word and his promises with us. He loves you. And our love trusts him, that he's going to meet our needs. His heart is to bless us. And so our faith works because of the love of God that he has for us and his provision. I mean, if he gave Jesus, he started at the top. What is it to meet your rent? He's going to give us everything through his son now. Here's the last thing. So we're talking about the foundation of our faith, the test of faith, and the heart of faith is the reward of faith. Look in verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. But it can be, again, applied to anything, not just to salvation. Receiving the end of your faith. There is an end to faith. When God meets the need. When he promises you. As he's going to fulfill his promise. He does it. There's an end to that faith. You're not going to go on forever and forever. There's going to come a time that you're going to see the end of that tunnel. Your faith is going to be rewarded. You're going to see the promise come to pass. It's going to be manifested. It's coming your way. It's on the way. Hallelujah. It's in the pipeline. And that there's a day that your faith is going to be rewarded. And so look at all that, you know, whatever it might be, you know, your faith is going to be rewarded. The healing of your body. Don't you give up hope. Don't let people talk you out of it. Oh, God doesn't heal today. Maybe every once in a while, but that's not really what God does anymore. Well, then, if you want to believe that, believe it. I want to get healed. God's word says, you know, that there's healing in the atonement. By his stripes, you're healed. And so that we're going to see the end of our faith. God's promise to enlighten you, to see the answer, to give you wisdom. God says there's going to be a reward of your faith. You've believed, you've asked for wisdom, he's going to give it. The job you've been looking for, it's coming. Or God's going to give you a promotion. Or God's going to get you out of that job and get you to another job. Some of you are so hanging on to your job for security. God says, I'm going to get you out of that job. You're not even going to like the way I'm going to do it. I'm trying to get you to a better place where I can bless you and get you to let loose of this. There's no security there. They're not. They're even crooked. They don't even do things uprightly. How can I bless that business and bless you in it? There's an end to your faith. God's going to give you the strength you've been asking for. God's going to give you the promotion you've been asking for. God's going to give you the breakthrough in your marriage. God's going to give you the freedom from that addiction or anything that's controlling you or the situations in your life. God's going to break through into your loved ones. You just keep praying and standing in faith. God's doing things you don't even see it happening. God's doing it. Is God's word true or not? I was praying for my kids and the Lord. I said, God, when are you going to do something? He says, I am doing something. What do you mean, when am I going to do something? I've been doing something. God's time's not your time. He's going to do it. There's going to be a reward of faith. The infilling of the Spirit, the filling of God. There's a reward of your faith. Whom resists steadfast in faith, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 says, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brothers that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you suffered a while, he's going to make you perfect. He's going to establish you. He's going to strengthen you. He's going to settle you. The answer is going to be manifest, whatever it is in your life. There's going to be a reward of your faith. You're going to get through this thing. God's going to bless you. He's going to honor it. And you're going to say, man, I stood. When nobody else stood with me, even ridiculed me, I stood. I knew it. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Impossible. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek it. So there's a reward to your faith. You're going to be tested, not doubting. There's a payday that's coming. It's faith that pleases the heart of God. It's because you believe. Tonight, God wants you to believe. And God's going to reward your faith tonight. It's more precious than gold to him. When you really believe God. Tonight, are you standing in faith? You know, for some of you, I want you to know the end has come to your faith. God is going to meet your prayers, and they're going to be met tonight. You're going to see breakthroughs. There's going to be victory. There's going to be healing. Things are going to change. You may not even feel it. You're going to leave, and tomorrow or this week, you're going to go, man, it happened. Look, it's really taking place. Because you're standing in faith. Because you stood, and you passed the test. And you're believing in his word, not looking at what is seen, but looking what is unseen. By faith, you're looking at the substance. You're looking at the evidence. You're looking at God. Father, I pray that this word's going to go into our hearts. And Lord, that you tonight are going to manifest your word. And that you're going to confirm the signs following your word. It's your word. And we stand, God. Lord, you said to prove you even in our giving. Well, Lord, we prove you in your word as we stand on it, not in arrogance, but Lord, in our faith in you, you're the one. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed, and I'm going to dismiss this part of the service. It's 8 o'clock. If you're here tonight, and maybe you've never asked Jesus Christ to come in your life, that's the greatest miracle that ever happened. But you're not going to get saved without faith. It's not going to be by good works. It's a gift of God, not of works, so nobody can brag. And so it's just when we say, Lord, forgive me. I ask you to send your spirit in my heart. And he's going to do just what you've asked him to do. It's our faith in Jesus that he died on the cross for us. He paid the price in full. He paid the price for you. He bought you. The gift is there. The gift of salvation is yours. It was given to you 2,000 years ago. Now by faith, all you got to do is receive it. The gift's there. It's all package wrapped. He's just waiting for you to pick it up. The gift of life, of salvation, eternal life. It's yours. Now we receive it by faith. So he stands at the door of your heart. And if we just by faith receive it, he's going to come into your life. And if that's you tonight and you say, Pastor, I've never done that. I've never put my trust in Jesus alone for my salvation and to receive the gift without any of my good works at all. Just to receive it. Well, that's what this is. It's faith. That's what justifies you. That's what pronounces you righteous. Without any good works attached to it all. Jesus on the cross said, it's finished. It's bought. It's paid for. It's yours. Now we receive it. And if that's you tonight, I want you to just lift your hand up. Wherever you are, you say, Pastor John, I've never done that. I mean, I've tried to be good. I've tried to do what's right. But, you know, the Bible says nobody's going to get justified by good works because there's anybody that's good. Good works are never going to save you. But it's trust and faith in Jesus that pronounces you righteous before God the Father. You just receive what he gives you and believe and receive. Is there anyone tonight? You just lift your hand up. When I see your hand, you can put it down and say, oh, Pastor, pray for me. Man, if I could know that, if I could know I'm saved, if I could know that I'm going to have eternal life, if I could know God in my life and he'd help me out some of the stuff that's happening right now and I could begin to find the plan that he has for me, I can't find it. I've tried and tried, man. It's not working my way. I'm ready to trust God. And I want you to lift your hand up wherever you are right now and you say, pray for me. Where? It's hard for me to see. Thank you. I see your hand there. I see your hand there. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. Who else? You say, pray for me. You just slip your hand up. Say, pray for me. Yes, I see your hand. Thank you. Is there anyone else? You say, pray for me. Father, I pray for those that raise their hand. Tonight they're going to meet you. Tonight they're going to know you and experience you in their life. Oh, God. This is so precious. Lord, I've done this hundreds and hundreds of times. Watch people come to know you. It's greater, 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 Lord, than I ever see it. As the angels in heaven rejoice over it. Lord, the joy in your heart, people find you. This is why you died. So I pray not one person that raised their hand is going to leave this place without knowing you, knowing your love and the awesome, awesome God that you are. They're going to really know who you are. And they're going to know you and the plan you have, the eternal life that you give, and the abundant life you promised. In Jesus' name. I want us all to stand and stay in an attitude of prayer. And here's what I like to do. I'd like for Pastor Pat and I'd like for one other couple, elders, just if I could have one couple that you...